Hey there, I'm Grant Wall. Welcome to the Planet Football Podcast. This week's interview guest is Yael Averbush West, former U.S. Women's National Team player, founder of Technique Football, and the executive director of the NWSL Players Association. A quick reminder, if you like the podcast, it would really help us if you go to Apple Podcasts and provide a rating and a review, and we'd appreciate you recommending the podcast to someone you know. Onward! Our guest today is Yael Averbush West. She is a former star at the University of North Carolina who had 26 caps for the U.S. Women's National Team and has played in 10 seasons of professional club soccer. She's the executive director of the NWSL Players Association and the founder of Technique Football, a soccer training app. Yael, thanks for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm excited for the conversation.
Great to have you in studio here in New York. And you wear so many hats that I wanted to start just by asking, which of your jobs are you spending the majority of your time on these days?
Very good question. So yeah, I found myself at one point with kind of like three full-time jobs. So I've had to really think about my priorities, which for many years, pretty much my whole life, was my on-field playing career. Now it's shifted. Technique Football, the soccer training app that I've created, and still very much a work in progress. That's kind of taking up the majority of my time, and that's my main focus. And then the NWSL Players Association work is obviously really important, and especially right now, in this timing of things, spending a lot of time on that as well. So I've had to be very careful with prioritizing my time and managing it to also take a little bit of time to relax.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I might as well address this part now. You're not playing professionally right now. You've had a very impressive career on the field, and you decided to step away from the NWSL last year. What led to that?
Yeah, so I have an illness called ulcerative colitis, and it's something I've known I've had for a while. It's a really nasty digestive disease. I'll spare everyone the details of what goes on. But yeah, just a lot of discomfort. And I've known I've had it. I've managed it well throughout the years, you know, playing and going for long periods of time in remission with no symptoms at all. But the last 3 years, you know, in it kind of a combination effect of moving a number of times, starting my own business alongside playing professionally still, and kind of all of those stresses that now I'm very hyper aware of. I was dealing with, you know, immense amount of stress, anxiety, pressure, and they kind of have led to a flare up of this illness that I haven't really been able to fully kick. I'm kind of on the tail end of my recovery, but I couldn't push through another season of dealing with trying to get healthy and playing. They don't quite work together all the time.
Yeah, and you've been very frank about all of this on your social media, which I admire, and you know, sort of being very upfront about the whole thing. I'm sorry you've been taken away from playing on the field.
No, it's okay. It's been a really important life lesson for me, and I do share it for that reason, as I think, you know, everybody has their struggle, and it's different for everybody. But certainly this has really caused me to evaluate how I do things in my life and how I want to do things moving forward. And what I was doing wasn't sustainable.
So let's talk about NWSL Players Association. We'll talk about all this stuff here. And it's been a good year for women's soccer, obviously winning the World Cup. It's been a good year for the NWSL. And there's a lot going on. But first off, could you sort of explain what the NWSL Players Association is and what it's not?
Yes, very, very good way of putting that question. Yeah, so as an active player a few years ago, alongside some of my peers, we've all of a sudden found ourselves to be veteran players in the league. It went quick from being a newbie to all of a sudden one of the older players. And we really felt that as a group of players, we needed a voice, and we had no voice. We had no way to get questions answered, and really no support for that group of players who needs the support the most in this country. And so we started the organization a number of years ago, and it's continued to gain formalities, and we're building it out. But really the whole idea is, how can we make the player experience better, allow the players' viewpoints and real life implications of all the rules that get formed in the leagues to be heard and understood by the league and by others? And also, how can we support the players understanding that progress with salaries and professionalized conditions in the league will take time? And we know, and we want them to happen as they're able to happen. But how can we support players to form a second source of income, to find stability in their lives, continue their education, and really continue their professional development off the field alongside their playing career. And I think that is the key to lasting stability on the player side, which obviously then really helps the league.
Yeah, and there's a separate players union for the U.S. Women's National Team, correct? Those players?
Yeah, so I think that this is what a lot of people get confused about, is technically we have different employers. So this is all, I went to Labor Law 101 now, and I haven't graduated yet from that 101 class. But so they receive their paycheck from U.S. Soccer for their participation in the league, and U.S. Soccer's investment financially in this has been enormous for the league and a really important piece of why we just finished the seventh year in such a good place. And everyone else in the league receives their paycheck from NWSL. So mm-hmm. because of that, we have two different employers and we have two different unions. We work very closely together. And when it comes to the league, we have a lot of the same experiences and concerns. But the reality is that at one point a few years ago, only about 30 women in our country had any sort of representation when it comes to their employer-employee relationship. And so no one else had any sort of representation there.
So what is life like for a rank-and-file NWSL player?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because I think when people, we always joke as players in league, and I still call myself a player even though I wasn't part of this last season. You know, when we go to do camps and clinics and we talk to kids about that we're living the dream of being a professional soccer player, they'll say, you know what, oh, so you live in a mansion? And it's like this ongoing joke. Like, if people only saw some of the things that we have to do to be able to live our dreams. And I think it is a grind. I think that's the best way to put it. We are extremely grateful for the opportunities that we've had, for the investment of all the people that make it possible, but it's certainly a grind. Most players do not make enough money to live, and we're fortunate that, or unfortunate, we could argue, that in the women's soccer landscape, most of these players come from very affluent, comfortable families who can still support them. But the reality is most players need to do something on the side and can't fully focus on being a professional athlete. And it's a very stressful lifestyle. You never know where you're going to live. You never know how much money you might be making next year or not. And I think that takes an enormous emotional toll on the players in a way that it's not something you can, you know, quantify in numbers.
Okay. And in terms of the recent announcement that more money would be spent on salaries in the NWSL, part of the analysis was like, well, even though Sam Kerr did leave, this will allow, like, you know, foreign players to be able to make more money than they were making. Will the rank and file American NWSL player benefit from this?
So I think absolutely. I think this recent set of rule changes, we feel really positive about. Some of the things not having to do with the salary in terms of player stability, being paid throughout the year, having housing in your market throughout the year, those are game changers. I mean, we have players, and I did this myself, moving every 6 months. That is financially and emotionally extremely taxing. And so to be able to stay where you are and know that you have a place to live goes a long way. Additionally, I mean, the minimum and maximum for players for all players in the league have gone up. And the extra money that clubs are now able to spend on potentially bringing in an international star, I think that we all have the common feeling in the league that we want this league to be the destination for the world in women's soccer. And so we're all very happy that there's the opportunity now to entice players financially. And it's pretty cool that the women's game has gotten to the point where that's become a thing, where it can become a bidding war over players. And that's, I think, when you see things get to the next level. It's really exciting to hear about it in Europe, but now we can participate as well.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about how the NWSL has been around for 7 years. Previous leagues weren't around for longer than three. So already the NWSL has had some stability that previous leagues did not. I guess one question for you is, I broke a story last week about the USL, which operates second and third division men's teams in this country, is seriously exploring starting a rival Division I women's league to the NWSL. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, so I mean, I was really upset when I saw that news. I hadn't really heard much or anything about it, to be honest. And to me, I mean, I want women's soccer to grow in this country, more arguably up there with anybody else. But I think that the way to do it is not to form competing factions. I mean, and this is why we've taken, as a players union, we've taken a really different and unique approach to our negotiations with the league. And that's because of the place that the league is in right now. Yes, we're in the seventh season. There have been awesome attendances, but we can't stand for competition from within. And I think that in this country, you know, we've not seen that work for there to be rival top-level sports leagues. So, you know, what I express publicly on social media is really what I feel. I would really hope that USL would take a collaborative approach and become part of what we're building, because the fact of the matter is there are only so many resources and so much attention to go around, and we need to build that in one place. By splitting that up, I think it's incredibly detrimental to all of women's soccer.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it's good news that people want to invest more money in women's soccer, but yeah, you want to have it be, you know, kind of working together, I would think.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I feel very strongly about that. I think that there is no room for us to battle each other here. We all need to be working towards a common goal, and NWSL, you know, there have been ownership groups now that just in this league, but who have been part of other leagues, who for 7 years have invested heavily in this. And as players, we're incredibly appreciative of the process we're going on and the investment that has been made already. And to think of someone else coming in with money to invest or resources, but not wanting to join the effort is really disappointing.
You said you spend a lot of your time on Technique Football, your app. What is it?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, throughout the years, the thing that I've connected with most as a player has been that time spent on my own training with the ball. And I definitely have a little bit of an obsessive personality when it comes to things like this, but I love going out with the ball to the wall and juggling, dribbling, you know, striking the ball over and over. And I started a YouTube channel at one point, and I share a lot of training ideas on the YouTube channel. But really, the idea of Technique Football is to offer players organized training progressions that they can follow, they can track their progress, and they can see the time that they're training accrue literally on their in their stats in the app. Because I think, you know, that's something that I was taught as a young player that I really appreciate, is like consistency over time really adds up. So what we tell players using the Technique app is just 10 minutes a day of extra training, which is really manageable, over a year ends up being more than 60 hours of extra work. So it's about individual training that players can do, but it's also about kind of teaching the concepts of mastery and discipline and accountability that I think were such a huge and influential part of my life as a player and still are.
What's your soccer story? How did you get into this sport?
Yeah, good question. My parents knew nothing about soccer, like unfortunately, like too many Americans, but were lifelong athletes, long distance runners. And my friend in school was playing soccer, and so I actually went to her soccer game just to watch, to support her, and they needed an extra player, and I was way too scared. I was a really shy kid. I was like, nope, sorry, guys. So they played down a player that day. I was too scared to join, but then I thought it looked like fun, so the next season I joined, and you know, I was, I think, 7 when I started, and I remember by the time I was 9 or 10, I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I was all in. So since that point, you can imagine what happened after that. It's just, it's all history. I've been, you know, that has been my singular focus literally since I was 9 years old.
Wow. You went to North Carolina. We had Anson Dorrance on our podcast series earlier this year, a throwback about the origin stories of the U.S. Women's National Team and the Women's World Cup. He was obviously the 1991 coach when they won. Very unique character.
Yes, character is a good word.
What was your take on your experience with Anson?
Oh, I mean, Anson, I think the long, to be really honest, the longer I'm away from playing at the program, the more I appreciate Anson. I mean, he's a tough coach to play for. It's tough there. It's extremely competitive. He does not spare anyone's feelings. You will know exactly his opinion of you on any given day. And so I certainly had a love-hate relationship when I was playing for him. I mean, I had a wonderful experience playing for that program and going to school in Chapel Hill. But, you know, there were certainly my fair share of tears and angry statements being made and things like that. But, you know, leaving there, I now realize, having been coached by a lot of different people and been in different team cultures, how special the team culture is there. And that comes from him. And his, I think, above all, which is ironic because he's such a winning coach, he really cares about developing players' character, and he cares most about the people he's developing rather than the players. And it's really special because that's not the case with every coach out there.
Okay, interesting. You know, I wanted to ask also, what have I got here? Oh, yeah. You are married to a fellow podcast guest who was on the show recently, Aaron West. And I think it's very cool. How did you guys, you're both from Carolina, or you both spent time in Carolina, right?
Yeah, so actually, Aaron grew up in Chapel Hill, but I didn't know him my whole 4 years in college. And after my, which is probably better for both of us, after my first season playing professionally, I went back to school to try to finish up some of my coursework. And I was out at our game field at Fetzer Field, which now is named after Anson mm-hmm. Dorrance Field. It's definitely a much nicer setup now than it was when I was back in school. But I went out to kick around kind of late, and I saw that these two guys came down onto the field, and I was mad because they weren't supposed to be playing on our beautiful grass field. And then I started to say, oh, no, these guys are pretty good. So we ended up becoming really good friends, and obviously Aaron was one of those guys. So our relationship really started on the soccer field.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's still a lot of it takes place on the soccer field.
Nice. I mean, what's that like? Like, for example, here, my wife doesn't like sports.
Oh, man.
And it's actually really healthy in a sense, is what I've always thought, is that when I'm like, I love my job when I'm, you know, but when I'm on off the clock, I can kind of get away from it a little bit. But then again, it's good to have common interests, which I do with my wife. But like, what's that like when you and your spouse are that all in on soccer?
Yeah, well, to be honest, we don't share many common interests outside of that, so maybe this is good. We have the other balance. You know, soccer is so much, I think for both of us, is so much more than just playing on the field or watching the game. There's something about it that it's changed my life, and that passion, I think, is really nice to share with somebody where he understands how the game affects me at a deeper level than just, okay, well, you didn't have a good performance, like, move on. It's more than that. And I think that shared understanding, and then also seeing how passionate he is about the game and seeing him be able to now make a career from that has been really cool, because I actually embarked on my soccer career prior to really loving and appreciating the game. Mm-hmm. And Aaron has always loved and appreciated the game and now has made it part of his career. So it's been kind of an interesting crossroads for us where we now understand each other a lot more.
That's really cool. I mean, and in case listeners don't know, since I had Aaron on the podcast a couple months ago, he's been doing these amazingly cool videos for Turner BR on Champions League, going to very, you know, interesting destinations in Europe, and you should check those out. Have you ever thought about doing media full time? You have a million jobs, but like you're a good writer. I've read some of the stuff that you've written before. I also know that I think I may have been aware of your mom before I was aware of you, because I
that's
read
like my worst nightmare when people say that.
I'm so
just
sorry.
Kidding. Love you, mom.
But she had didn't she do a book with Brandi Chastain?
Yeah, and actually with Anson Dorrance before that.
Yeah.
So she she's a longtime writer. She used to be on the radio actually. But yeah, you know, media and writing and verbal expression has been a huge part of our family greatly in part because of my mom. And so I haven't, you know, I'm trying to limit my number of professions at the moment, but I'm not opposed to it. I do really enjoy writing. I enjoy, you know, being on camera and sharing some of the thoughts and ideas I have that I feel really fortunate that others shared with me. So it's not out of the picture, but I'd rather not add anything to my agenda.
What, we're nearing the end of the year, and it's a time of the year when people sort of take stock of the year that's passed and the year coming ahead. What are you hoping to do in the next year or two?
Yeah, you know, it's been really interesting. The last couple of years have been a really strange and interesting time in my life due to my health situation. And for a while, I was really, really sick, like much sicker than I am right now. And so I was saying for a long time, okay, well, my health is my number one priority, but I was spending all day working on the Techni app. I was taking calls at all times of day and night for the Players Association. And if I'm being honest with myself, I wasn't really taking my health into account. And our health is the most valuable thing we have. So which I knew logically, but I wasn't really acting like it. So for me, really, in this upcoming year and looking at this year past, I need to make that shift to really take care of myself above my other responsibilities, which a lot of times those have come first. And, you know, even above literally being able to to get up out of bed. I was like bedridden for a while and was on my computer working like crazy. So it was extreme at some points. But yeah, I'm on a new mission to really take care of myself first and foremost. And then that will also allow me to offer more to the communities I serve through the Techni app and helping players to achieve their dreams in the game and then being able to support the NWSL players to create an even better experience for them.
Where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, so the spelling of my name is always a tricky one, but all of my social media handles are my name, so Y-A-E-L, and then last name A-V-E-R-B-U-C-H. And then Techni Football is also a good thing to check out. You can actually just download the app from the App Store, and we offer a totally free 1 week trial, no strings attached. I hate when people try to trick you into charging you after the trial. So you can, if you're a soccer player or want to become a soccer player, you can check that out and test your skills.
Yael Everbush-West, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Yael Everbush-West, as well as producer Harry Swartout, and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Remember, if you like the podcast, it would really help us if you go to Apple Podcasts and provide a rating and a review, and we'd appreciate you recommending the podcast to someone you know. See you next time.